Welcome back to 5DGS.
I ain't really sure, but it seems I remember the good times.
Death is so weird. I started to say happy birthday to my mom. But the fact that she just passed away like a month ago makes it feel weird. Whereas my dad died in 2002, and his birthday is January 28th, and every January 28th, I'm like, oh, happy birthday, Dad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, you're used to it.
Like, the more proximate it is, the more it feels weird. Like, well, it is her birthday, but she didn't make it, so she's not 97, but she would have been.
Right. But you did the other one 20 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, that's kind of how it feels more normal to you.
Birthdays are weird anyway.
That we
it just happened to be the day you're born.
Yeah, but it's still kind of cool.
It's your birthday, but I mean.
It's kind of cool that you made it. Another trip around.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get a few more of those. It'd be nice.
Birthdays may be one of the better things humans have done.
It's a good idea. I mean, I understand, everybody.
At some point, some guy just goes, this is the 13th of the January, and you're like, oh.
I want to look that up. I wonder when we actually started tracking, like, the day you were born.
Right.
Because, I mean, everybody's always kind of had an idea, right? Like, even before language existed, you kind of like, all right, that one's been around a couple years. Or
do you feel like
a couple of farming cycles?
Like, I've always said that had I been born in previous times, when we were really figuring things out in the wheel and bridges and things like that, that I would have added exactly nothing to human knowledge. I would not have been one of those difference makers. Do you feel like it was this giant throng of people that all did little things that led us to where we are? Do you think it was just like 100 geniuses that like made up the Gregorian calendar and the Mayans and,
I think it's just like a little bit at a time, right?
You think so?
Yeah, you just refine over.
I feel like it was more like 100 people stood up and went, genius thing. And we all went, wow, look at that guy.
There were definitely like the exceptional thinkers, I think, among that. But I think you iterate over time. One guy says, hey, what about months? And then the next guy's like, yeah, months. Hey, what about 12 of them?
And I think they figured that out the other way, though, by following the movements of the sun and the stars.
Yeah,
right?
And that's how it went.
Yeah.
Yikes.
That probably is how it went.
Yeah, probably is.
Somebody's like, shut up.
Someone said something smart to someone went, shut up.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Here comes Larry in his months.
Following the lights in the sky.
You can't divide time into spaces, Larry. Never going to happen.
You ever think about who figured out math?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what was that about?
Yeah, who knows?
That's crazy.
No, like they were looking up into the sky and noticing that some of the stars move differently.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, I bet those are planets.
And they charted it.
Yeah.
Like tens of thousands of years ago.
You gotta beat that guy to death with a shovel.
Yeah.
He's obviously a witch.
I really wonder, and I think this would be impossible because you couldn't have the technology without those early advancements, but I wonder if they had more to do back then. More distractions, right? If they had iPhones and social media and television shows and things, would they have been able to chart the stars? Or would they have all been too distracted?
So they had a lot of downtime.
Yeah, they had not a lot else to do.
Well, like the Greeks, I mean, they just walked around talking to each other. It was the first time in history that it happened where a group of people just walked around all day and all night like, what about this?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think goes on? What do you think happens after you die? And they're like, oh my God, you just blew my mind. And most of our great thinking was done back then. I don't feel like we've added a ton.
Well, don't you think we have great thinkers now, but everyone reacts in that, shut up way that
probably,
yes.
Like, we don't want to accept someone of their time and be like, oh yeah, you are so much smarter than me. Like,
no,
it's
really true.
When it comes to innovative thought, you're never the genius. None of those people were considered geniuses when they were alive. I should say none, but there were a lot that were not. It's only later on that you become more appreciated.
Which means that people like Musk or Trump or people who people don't like now could end up a couple hundred years from now being heroes. Musk could be like Socrates.
We'll see.
Could be stupid Socrates.
Anything could happen.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose it's technically possible.
I mean, people who lived with Socrates are probably like, that guy's a dork.
I'm sure they did think that. Like, this guy doesn't even work.
Yeah.
I wonder what Socrates' X account would have been like.
been a bunch of his sayings.
Yeah, you're like, I'm so tired of this guy.
He gets ratioed all the time.
Yeah.
A bunch of declarative sentences.
No, somebody would have been like, I discovered some pretty troubling things about him and little boys.
There'd been a bunch of...
Thanks, Andrew.
Jeez, man.
What? That's what they would have canceled him for, you know, certain things.
Was he known for that, or did that was your go-to...
I believe he was known for that. I think
you
a lot
believe.
Of...
You might want to... Yeah, so you might want to check that out.
Oh, yeah. What if I slander Socrates?
You may not want to Google it at work, though.
No, that's
yeah,
a good point.
Yeah, I actually just almost hit enter, yeah. And then I'm like, you know what? Never mind.
Yeah.
Don't want that.
But I know one thing. There would have been people on Twitter going, such a beta. Stop thinking.
Ooh. Speaking of
beta, all right, it's time for Razor's Edge, and I have some Gen Alpha slang words with their meanings, and I want to see if you guys are hip to this. I know we've done this a couple times, but this is a comprehensive list of all of their slang.
I learned a new one the other day.
What's that?
Let me take a rip of your Benjamin.
Oh, the Benjamin.
Yeah. I said that to Phoebe, and I thought she was going to die.
All right, let's start with brain rot. Does anyone know what brain rot means?
Isn't it just like wasting time on social media, things like that?
It is a general term for spending too much time online watching low quality content that rots the brain.
Mm. Okay.
Skibbity.
Which is bad.
What?
No. Skibbity could mean good,
skibbity
bad,
can mean
cool.
anything.
Yeah, it could mean anything.
Yes.
Well, that's not helpful.
No.
What about Skibbity Ohio Riz?
That's bad.
No.
Well, again, not helpful.
Because they do the thing like to that generation, like the things that only happen in Ohio is kind of like Florida man type stuff.
This says to call someone Skibbity Ohio Riz means that they're weird.
Right. Because there's like these Ohio stories. I think that's what that's all about. Like the weird stories happen in
so
Ohio.
So you put Ohio
in their
bad.
Minds. Yes.
What about Skibbity Riz?
Didn't you just say that one?
Skibbity Ohio Riz.
What about, I thought you said that before Skibbity.
No, just Skibbity. Nope.
Okay, that's bad.
No, Riz is typically
no,
good.
But when you use the prefix Skibbity, that makes it bad.
I'm sorry. I hate to talk about Gen Alpha this way, but this is the most insane sentence I will ever read to you guys. Skibbity Riz is the charm shown by a male Skibbity toilet to a female Skibbity toilet.
Oh, well. That's a little more specific than I thought.
Which is used in reference to the toilets in the Skibbity Toilet animated YouTube series.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Which is, yeah. Well, I mean, is what it is. It's going to be a movie soon, I think.
I think they're so cool.
They do.
I don't remember having things that my parents didn't understand and feeling cool about it. I don't remember having that phase.
I remember.
I'm pretty sure we did that.
I remember saying things like, oh, that's tight. Or like, that's. Or like, I remember when I got into seventh grade, it was like, are you mature or are you immature?
I remember you and Andrew making me feel old within the past few years when you'd say something like, oh, this sandwich is fire. And I'm yes, yes.
It is. It's very. Yeah.
Bussin'.
It's bussin'.
Gibbity bussin'.
This slaps.
Yeah.
Bussin'
but
is.
We always, I want you to know, Dave, we say that ironically. For the most part.
Sure you do.
For the most
part. Okay,
yeah. Until it turns into a part of your vernacular.
It starts that way, which
is
what happened to me with the let's go thing.
Yes, and that is a very real linguistic thing where you will start saying something ironically like, oh, this cherry Pepsi is so dope, right? And then I'll find myself like talking
dope.
To my father, and I'm like, ah, yeah, no, I like putting the shrimp on when we barbecue the shrimp. That's dope. He's like, what did you say to me?
Okay, guys, what about Sigma?
Sigma's good.
It means a popular, dominant, independent leader, a Sigma male, or someone who's cool or self-sufficient.
I had someone say that to me the other day on a text, and I had to look it up. It was like 50-50. This is either really good or really bad.
Were they calling you a Sigma?
The situation.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the situation.
What about?
In fact, it was Chef Liz.
Oh, okay.
Because she made me a cherry pie,
mm-hmm.
and I said, that's one of the best cherry pies I've ever had, and she answered Sigma, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't know what she's saying.
What
Siri,
do I mean
me.
By that?
Siri just popped on whenever I said that. How about mewing? Does anyone know what mewing means?
That is flirting.
No.
No,
yes,
it's something.
It is.
No, it's not. It's
This is
something they do with their jaws.
Yes, Kevin's right. It is a verb for working on strengthening your jawline.
No.
It could also mean looking good.
Did it? I don't even know what that means. Like, what do you do?
The jawsercizer.
Yeah.
What do you just like move around?
Yeah, I bought a piece of hard rubber to chew on.
Oh, is that what it is?
For $40.
It's called jawsercize.
All right.
And it was so awesome when it came in the mail.
Did it work?
I did it once.
You felt ridiculous, right? Like, yeah. You tried it one time and were like, never mind.
Yeah, I could chew on a chair.
Could gum do this?
It was like the size of a whole apple.
I think gum probably could if you chewed enough, like, big league chew.
You'd have to throw the whole pack in there.
Big league mew.
What about, let's see. Oh, no, it just reloaded. Hold on. How about aura or a negative aura?
That is your mob, like not necessarily your mindset, but what you're projecting out into the world, right? If you have a lot
are
of
you just
aura,
guessing at these?
Cool. No, I know them all, and I'm right about them.
Sounded like Trump. You haven't been right yet.
I know all the things.
Yeah, it's like if you have a lot of aura, that's good and you're cool.
That's essentially correct. Yes.
Thank you.
This is one that Dave uses all the time. Salty.
Salty.
Mm. Does it mean what I mean it to mean?
Salty describes being in a bad mood, irritated, bitter, or resentful.
There you go.
How about eight, as in you ate?
Oh, yeah. That's you, like you tore it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look good. You're impressive. You're outstanding. You ate. How about zang?
Nope.
You guys are going to be so mad at this.
That is not real. I've never heard that.
Yes, it is. It's a remix of the word dang. So instead of saying
zang,
you just say zang. I think I'm going to appropriate that one. I'm going to start using that one.
You can't say it's a remix of a word.
That's what the article says. Parade.com. Check
these
it
are
out.
These are Gen Alphas.
Gen Alpha slang. Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
The article for grandmas at the doctor's office. That's where you're getting all these
grandmas
from?
Have to get their information somewhere about Generation Alpha.
Parade?
That is kind of like what younger generations do, though, is like, we don't want to be like our parents, so we're going to change one letter.
Zang.
And then now it's cool.
Zang, it'd be like that. All right, how about yeet?
Yeah.
This one has changed, right?
I don't think so. It's just, you know, like,
Andrew's
toss
correct.
Someone aside, or yeah.
It has two definitions. To be very excited and have a lot of energy. It can also mean to throw something with a lot of force.
Yeah.
How about just put the fries in the bag, bro?
That's a big one right now.
Oh, that's when that's when someone's
when
talking.
You're telling them to shut up.
And when someone's talking and you don't want to hear it, you just go like, put the fries in the bag.
I'm not going to lie. I love that one.
That one's fun. I've never heard of that one.
I see that one on Twitter a lot.
This phrase means you're taking too long and need to spit it out.
Yeah.
How about Delulu?
Delusional.
Yep. Dave knows that one. I think we've done that one in the past. How about the ick?
When someone does something unattractive and you're like, I don't find you attractive anymore.
Essentially, yes. Okay, Andrew's not allowed to answer this one because I know he knows this one. How about op?
OP?
OPP.
Oh. No, don't know that one.
Nope.
When the enemy is out to get you, they're the opposition or the op.
So just shortening stuff. It's fine.
Let's do one more. How about...
Kevin sounded so old. they're shorting things. Okay.
That's fine.
That's the game.
Fine.
I'm starting to figure it out now.
Yeah, okay.
Our generation never did anything like that.
He's wrapping his head around it, finally.
Okay, final one. How about it's giving?
It's making you think of this thing, right? It's presenting in a way that is reminiscent of.
It's their way of saying Thanksgiving.
It's giving Thanksgiving. This slang phrase describes when someone or something exudes a vibe or a feeling. For example, it's giving cozy autumn vibes.
I can't talk to these people.
We're not meant to.
Here's a new term for you. Have you heard of fridgescaping?
Fridgescaping?
Yes.
Is that when you, like, arrange your fridge in a cute way?
You're escaping the fridge?
Not just cute, but you put little framed pictures.
Oh.
And flowers.
Inside?
Inside.
It doesn't surprise me because I see a lot on social media, like, people organizing their fridges and getting those clear plastic containers to keep all of their stuff organized.
Yeah.
And look, it's just to have a nice-looking fridge.
You know,
personally, I cannot relate. My fridge looks terrible.
I was just going to say, everyone has that area of your house that if you brought company over, you'd be like,
Yeah.
That's my fridge. It's dirty. Like, it's not just not great. It's dirty.
If it were just up to my maintenance skills, mine would be the same.
Yeah. It's just...
Thankfully, Susan's good at that.
It's a blind spot.
Yeah. Not good
They're
at it.
They're hard to clean.
Willing to do it. Yes, it's a pain.
They are.
Gotta get in the damn icebox to clean it.
And then you're cold.
Yes.
There's that.
And it's just gonna get dirty again.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing I put in there.
That's why I'm not putting any pictures in there.
Yeah, the flowers are a bit much.
It's like, okay, you just reach in there to get food and turn around and go out. That's all you do.
Another thing I see on social media a lot. Now, to be fair, I am guilty of liking these videos because they just make my brain feel good. But people will go and like buy laundry detergent and then they'll just take it out of the container and put it in a different container. And it drives some people nuts. They're like, why are you putting it in a different container? But it's just so it looks a little cuter.
Speaking of detergent, let me talk to the people who are streaming us right now. Do you ever stream the station? Like, I listen to Total Information AM. Mm-hmm. Every damn ad is for detergent.
Is it?
Yes. I mean, every ad. They're PSAs. Tell me crap I don't want to know. And then detergent ads.
Interesting.
Guy selling you the sheets. The sheets. Oh, my God. I hate it. I end up turning it down.
I don't get those.
Did you buy any?
Buy any what?
Detergent.
Sheets.
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I buy detergent, but
laundry or dishwasher or
laundry?
Laundry, okay.
Yeah, shaming you for being stinky.
Oh.
Are these targeted at me?
I don't know.
I'm the only one getting them saying my shirt's
either that
stinky?
Or I'm just not catching it.
I feel bad for the listeners. I really do. Like when I'm listening and it's like another detergent ad, I'm like, for the love of God, what are you trying to tell these people? What is it? Shut up and put the fries in the bag, bro.
Yeah.
Put the fries in the bag.
Put the fries
bro.
In the bag, bro.
Yeah, just stop selling us detergent. Put the fries in the bag, bro. Skibbity. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Thursday to you. About to have a really beautiful weekend coming up. One more hot day to get past. Matt Pauly joins us from the sports desk. Matt, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. When you started the sentence about to have a really beautiful, I thought you were going to come on, continue that with person about to join.
Got to have a gorgeous guest on right now. Prepare yourselves. Matt, I'm going to start with the question I started yesterday with Bernie. And he and Wheeler both had really interesting takes on this. And it was a very simple question of why do you think it is that we are so obsessed with sports?
I think it's the emotion that goes along with it. Like, think about Game 6 and David Freese. Like, those moments are moments that stick with you forever and bring out emotions, and you get angry or you get happy or you're brought to tears. I mean, I've been brought to tears by sports before. You get to there's really cool moments where somebody is from some hometown and comes back to that town and has like a really good thing that happened. So in it did, like the easy answer is we see these people who are in the 1% of 1% doing things that nobody else can do, and it's really cool to see those things. And I think that's probably how I would have answered the question 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've gotten older and as I've become a father and I'm more emotional, it's the emotion of sports. And it brings us all together and all that sort of stuff. But I love the stories. I love the cliched pulling yourself up off the mat and accomplishing something. I think seeing that and letting it make you feel something is something that's very healthy for human beings.
I like that. It's sort of live, real theater. You know, no one's making something up. No one's going back and replaying something. It's all happening live. It's real human beings. It's
different every single time.
But it plays out as theater.
Yep.
That's a good answer.
Absolutely.
So the Cardinals, Wheels and I were just talking about this right before we popped you on. They are winning, just won a series against Milwaukee, but they're not winning enough to get them where they need to be. From a standpoint of clarity only, is this the worst way to finish up a season because you don't know what exactly to do with your hands?
I guess so, just in the sense that you are relying on somebody else to do something for you, and it almost doesn't matter what you do. That kind of, we connect it back to what I just said, though, because that's the emotion of it. Because every single night, you can be rooting for the Cardinals, but you can be rooting against the Braves, and you can be rooting against the Mets, and something really interesting can happen, and the team can go on some sort of incredible run to make it to the postseason. We've seen them do that before. Now, look, it's very unlikely that this is a playoff team. The bottom line is the Mets won't lose and the Braves won't lose enough for the Cardinals to catch them. And even the Cubs are playing some pretty good baseball right now, and they're a team that the Cardinals have to jump over as well. So it's frustrating that the Cardinals can be on this fantastic run where they're 4-0-1 over their last five series and doing it against really good teams. But I also don't feel bad for them, because you know what happened 2.5 weeks ago? They went to Cincinnati and got swept in a 3-game series by the Reds. Like, yeah, they have put themselves in this situation, so you can't be upset about the fact that you are relying on other teams to do things that they're quite simply not doing right now.
Yeah, and I would toss on top of that, not just, you know, what has happened since the All-Star break, but you've had opportunities to read your roster and the team's performance and what they needed, and they didn't change. I mean, you know, we were joking about it via text last night, because some of us were. And, you know, like, Luke and Baker has now come through so many times against left-handed pitching since he's been called up. And where was this 2 months ago? You had a clear weakness against left-handed pitching. You had two bench guys that never played, and you never adapted on the fly to say, boy, we need some help against left-handed pitching. There's this guy down in Memphis who's been crushing left-handed pitching at AAA for 2.5 years. Maybe we could give that a look, but they never wanted to for their other reasons, because we need leadership, because he doesn't play shortstop, but somebody else could. You know, like, the lack of ability or willingness to adapt on the fly, I think, has been the consistent thread these last few years. Having a good plan at the beginning is great, but when that's not working, you got to do something different.
I agree with everything you just said, and I think retroactively we can look at what Luke and Baker is doing right now and look at the lack of success that the Cardinals have had this year against left-handed pitching, and we can sit here and say, well, it's kind of silly that he was hitting all those home runs at Memphis. That being said, I think, to be completely fair about things, it really wasn't until like 2-3 weeks, maybe 2 weeks, that before Baker finally got called up, that there was like this public clamoring for Luke and Baker to be given the opportunity. So we can sit here now and say, man, he should have been a Cardinal 2 months ago, 3 months ago, whatever the number might be. But I also don't think in the moment, to like the normal person out there, and maybe the Cardinals should be better than
the normal
person.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's my argument, Matt, is the team that's seeing players every day and analyzing things, and they've seen Baker now for all of these years and what his strengths and weaknesses are and what he's done against left-handed pitching, they should see more than we do.
Yes, and I can't argue with that. All I can do is agree with that. All I would say is the clamoring for Luke and Baker has been somewhat recent.
Yes.
If the season ended today, and we know what we know as of today, if you guys were the GM, or if your last name was DeWitt, what in general would you offer Paul Goldschmidt, if anything?
I don't know. Not multi-years, and what he's done here over the last 2 months might get him a multi-year contract from another team. And if that happens, great for him, and go, hopefully go play for a good team, and you get to have some meaningful at-bats, and I hope the best for him. I don't think giving him multi-years in St. Louis makes sense right now. If there was an opportunity to bring him back for, I don't know, $10, $12, $15 million per year on a one-year deal, where the organization clearly has another path forward at first base if Goldschmidt looks the way he looked for the first 2 months of the season, whether that's Burleson, whether that's Baker, whether it's a platoon situation, and Goldschmidt understands that no job is guaranteed and you're coming in basically having to fight for your job. If that circumstance presents itself, I wouldn't be completely against it. But Paul Goldschmidt is a fringe Hall of Famer who's having a fantastic final couple months of the season. Is he really going to go come back to St. Louis where they tell you, oh yeah, by the way, you got to fight for your job in spring training? Like, I don't know if I buy that.
And we're cutting your salary in half.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, this is not about Goldschmidt. It's more about where the team is. I'm not bringing him back for another year in his late 30s. or 2 years. I think there's
under any circumstance.
Again, nothing against him. I'm a big Paul Goldschmidt admirer. I love the guy's career. He's a great guy. The more you're tying yourself up into money on older guys, the more you're risking. You're already tied up on Arenado getting older, getting into his mid-30s here, and he's making $35 million a year. I don't want, and you're tied up, not tied up, it's not the right way to put it, but you're locked in on Sonny Gray in his mid-30s, getting into his late-30s here in these next couple years, and his salary goes up the next couple years because he got a lower deal this year to make the contract work. I can't take that risk of the aging curve continuing to continuing. Maybe this was a fluke year. Maybe it's not. And I don't want to gamble. If it's me, I'm going to allocate those resources differently. If it's me, I'm going to spend any money that I would spend on that, I'm going to turn into a starting pitcher.
If I know I'm playing a lot of what if, but I'm just curious, picking your guys' brain. If money was not an issue, you have no idea what they're paying anybody. Your first baseman at the start of the season next year can be Paul Goldschmidt or it can be Burleson. Who you pick?
I want a platoon if I'm going that route. I'll go Burley and Baker somehow, some combination of it.
To Wheels' point, Burleson's splits are still concerning in terms of him being an everyday guy.
Doesn't hit lefties particularly well, and that can change, but it doesn't typically. You know, it's not to say that it can't, because guys can make adjustments and get better. But typically speaking, by the time you reach the major leagues, if you don't hit left-handers, you're probably not going to learn at the major league level because it's just the team is at a disadvantage for trying it. You know, in the minors, these guys face lefties and righties. They'll just face everybody. They're not going to platoon you in the minors. They want to develop you and let you build that skill. If you haven't built that skill by the time you arrive, it's very difficult to do that against the best of the best of the best. So it's better to play to the team's strengths. And I think that where the team is going to need help more is going to be on the starting pitching side again, right? I mean, Miles Michaelis is not getting any younger, and he's not. It's 2 years in a row. He's not been very good, but you're locked in on him next year at $18.5 million. Sonny Gray is a great starter. Happy to have him back. Don't care what the money is. He's really good. But then after that, you may or may not have Kyle Gibson. You may or may not have Lance Lynn. And I would say probably not on both of those guys. Steven Matz is back, but he's not reliable in terms of health, and he hasn't been reliable in terms of performance. Pallante may or may not be a bottom-of-the-rotation starter. I still think you're missing an impact starting pitcher, and rather than spending on an aging player or an aging position player, I would rather funnel resources into another guy like Sonny Gray to be up at the front end of the rotation, because I think your lineup can be good with what you have in-house with some depth tweaks, right? What Matt and I always talk about, what I always talk his ear off about in the sports office, is you need to have a more versatile roster that plays matchups better, that you can say, all right, lefty on the mound today, we got these three guys in there instead of these three guys. You got to have a more adaptable, versatile roster. Do things. I mean, the Dodgers do that. They have the biggest payroll in baseball, but they play it that way. They've got a versatile team that when they're healthy, they have a bunch of guys that do a little bit of everything, and they play based on matchups. And I'd love to see more of that, and I think you can win plenty of games that way.
Are we still happily locked in with Arenado?
I think so. You just have to accept. You have to accept who he's going to be, and maybe I'm alone in this. I know this is different than a lot of fans. Once the contract is signed, I don't worry about the money anymore. It's not, well, you have to get this much out of this guy because he makes this much money. If Nolan Arenado is going to fall off and not going to slug quite as much anymore, but still hit for average and still give you pretty good defense over at third base, I'm fine with that, and I don't care what he's getting paid because that was a contract that was signed years ago. He's on the roster. Use him in the way that is going to most help your roster, and I still think even if who Nolan Arenado is this year is who he's going to be moving forward, a guy who doesn't hit as many doubles, a guy who doesn't hit as many home runs, but is going to come up with a clutch hit and is going to come up with base hits and gives you good defense at third, that I can accept that, but you also have to realize that you got to go find that slug somewhere else. You can't just assume that because his name is Nolan Arenado that he can be your four hitter and is going to hit 30 home runs and drive in 100. Like that's just not who he is anymore. So you accept that, you drop him down in the order, and you go find somebody else who can do that.
And this is where it's important for the team to figure out how to get Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker producing at the levels that they should be. Bernie pointed that out yesterday. I think Bernie is 100% right about that. like, that's what the young guys are for, is that they're inexpensive. They develop and they produce power as older guys decline, and you have this sliding scale of production. But if you don't get those guys going, you're in big trouble.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it, buddy.
You bet.
251 DGS. Coming up at the top of the next hour, going to do something kind of cool. It's my mom's birthday today, her 97th birthday. Just lost her about a month ago. And we wanted to do something to sort of commemorate that. And Rach had a great idea. She and Tony Colombo interviewed my mom for my 20th anniversary back in 2020. And we decided to replay that. And it's cool, really cool for me. I sent it to the rest of the family yesterday. And everyone commented on how cool it was just to hear her voice.
Yeah.
How cool it was to hear her laugh and to hear her without dementia. That was the craziest damn thing. She was slipping a little bit before she fell, and but living by herself and not a lot of concern about that, doing well. And then the second she fell and went to the hospital, that was it. Like, there's something called hospital. Not dementia, but another word for it, where especially older people just kind of lose it when they go into a facility of any kind. Mm. And it was just like that from the beginning.
Hmm.
So crazy. Just yeah. So, just like one day fine, the next day kind of gone. And then 4 months, and she was gone.
I mean, it is.
Think about people falling and breaking their hips. The yeah. cliche is true.
Yep. Well, that's why those types of things become cliches. You know, I mean, some cliches are not that way, but when it comes to observable
yeah.
things that happen in the real world, yeah. there's a reason people talk about that, because it is
pretty normal.
I saw
a statistic that popped up. I wasn't going and looking for it because I was living it, but something like people over 80 that break a hip, 2% survive a year.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. It's really, really tiny.
Yeah,
but my mom survived everything. She survived colon cancer. She survived a broken neck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just, we
That's
would all,
right.
we'd
all forgot all
kid
about
around.
That.
Like, yeah, she, like, she'd outlive us all. Broken hip. So you're mad about standing ovations?
Well, I'm not mad. I'm confused, right? So you see all these film festivals, and it's happening in Cannes now. And there was one yesterday that was 17 minutes. And this is like a new trend.
I couldn't clap for anything that long.
It's like a new trend. Like, they're doing these 16, 17, 18, 22-minute standing ovations for movies. And look, I get it. The stars and the director, they're there and you're showing appreciation. But that's just try hard, right? I mean, like, I've given some of the – I've been a part of some really great events. I mean, like, I've been at Stanley Cup championships. I have been at World Series events. And I have standed and applauded and cheered, but never for 17 minutes.
What are they yeah. trying hard to do?
I don't know. That's what I don't get. Is it a matter of, like, not wanting to be the first one to stop clapping?
Right.
Is it we're going to try to outdo that other group of clappers in Venice because we're in Cannes and we do it better in Cannes? Like, what is it? Why do you need to give somebody a 17-minute
yeah.
ovation for a... I mean, again, doesn't mean the art's not good, but a minute or two is plenty.
I'm with you, Wheels, and I'm pretty tired of Hollywood acting like the work they're doing is the most important work on the planet. Like, you're right. 17-minute standing ovation
insane.
Is overkill for most things. And then you watch, like, the Oscars and the way they talk about these films. Like, I really like movies, too. I think movies are important. I know art is incredibly important, but they act like it's, like, we are the ones saving the entire planet.
Yeah, I mean, like, what's next? Are we going to do parades for them? You made a movie. Here's a parade. Like, when the guys came back from Europe and the Pacific after World War II, all right, you know what? A 20-minute standing ovation would be appropriate.
My problem,
this is silliness.
My problem with it is standing ovations should be very, very special.
Yes!
That's what makes them special,
yes.
is that it doesn't happen very often. And so when every movie is getting a standing ovation, like, a tepid response is a 5-minute standing ovation.
I know.
Yeah,
and like, so
point.
do they, by the way, do the people that do these, do they work out for this? Like, do they prepare for the music, the festivals? And, all right, got it. My clapping.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
You gotta get my clapping arms. You gotta build up.
Yeah, you would think the crowd would just get tired of it after a certain point.
You would think, like, now this is where I also get mad. If you're the actors or the director or whatever, at some point, don't you just tell everybody,
yeah.
okay,
right.
we're good, yeah. I get it, thank you so
it's really
much,
awkward.
But let's stop now and I'll go eat something.
That's what I've had to do.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.